Amen, amen, Stony Island.
Amen.
Yeah, it's such a blessing to be back with you all. It's always good just to see you all and to be able to fellowship with you all and to be able to lift up God with you all. Some ask me, where you been? Did you fall off the face of the earth? No, I am in good health. I do have a busted lip from playing basketball, but that's about it. I'm doing well, and I hope you all have been doing well as well. I want to share a message today called Service, God's Channels of Grace, all right, Service. Because in this life, man, how do I say, we wouldn't be very far unless service existed. First coming from God, then coming from one another. So I'm going to start off by reading a few passages. And then we'll get into discussing some of these passages, and then the lesson will be yours, all right? The first passage I want to talk about is John chapter 13, verse 4 through 17. John chapter 13, verse 4 through 17. And this is a great passage. We know where Jesus began to wash his disciples' feet. Something that was just too magnificent for Peter, right? As we read this story, and I'm just going to read it quickly. This is, again, John chapter 13, starting at verse 4. It says, so he got up from supper, laid aside his robe, took a towel and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel tied around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Now, this isn't Peter saying, Lord, you're going to wash my feet, aren't you? This is the opposite, right? He's like, Lord, you going to wash my feet? No, you know, don't touch my feet, Lord. What are you doing? And Jesus answered him, what I'm doing, you don't understand now. But afterwards, you will know. You will never wash my feet, ever, Peter said. And Jesus replied, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Let's see how quickly Peter changed his mind, right? Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus had to tell him, one who has taken a bath doesn't need to wash anything but his feet, all right? He says, all of you are clean. He says, but not all of you, all right? He says, you are clean, but not all of you. In verse number 11, for he knew who would betray him. This is why he said, you are not all clean. There is so much in this text just itself, but this isn't just what the message is about. So I'm going to go to another text as well. And that text is going to be Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. I'm going to start at 32 just to give us some context. It says, and now I commit you to God and to the message of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands have provided for my needs and for those who were with me. In every way, I've shown you that by laboring like this, it is necessary to help the weak and to keep in mind the words of the Lord. These words many people can quote, even people who aren't Christians, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen?
Amen.
So Paul was even telling these people he worked with so hard and labored with so hard. He says, while I was among you, guess what? I didn't rely on you guys, right? He said, I could have done that, but I didn't. He said, I was an example. Showed myself an example to you that by hard work, Christians, by hard work, we have to work hard. We need to work to eat. And he says, we also need to work to have something to give to those who are in need. You see, so when we have the attitude of Paul, we aren't just going to work for ourselves. We aren't just thinking, you know, well, I want a day off, right? I want another day off. Let me take another. We don't sit on our laurels because we think about serving other people. We think about being channels of God's grace to us. I mean, something that I didn't even mention yet, but when you looked at after Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and you know he did tell Peter, he said, after I do this, you'll know what I'm doing, all right? You don't have to go back, but this is verse 12 in the same chapter 13 where we read earlier. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his robe, he reclined again and said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. This is well. You're right. For I am your teacher and your Lord. He says, so if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done for you. He says, I assure you, a slave is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. So if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. So he's telling them, look, I am your master, your teacher. He says, don't call anybody else your master, right? He says, you serve me. But he says, I am your master, and look what I did. I washed your feet. He says, now, you guys are used to seeing it the other way, right? The servant does everything, right? But he says, I did this, again, for an example. Now, some people take this very literally. Some of our Baptist friends, and they even start washing people's feet in service. And they think if you're not doing that, you know, you aren't doing according to the example. But this is an example of saying you ought to serve one another. All right? And at that time, at that day, that was one of the lowest. That's the servant of the servant's position, to wash people's feet. So Jesus, being God, coming down and humbles himself to that point, where he puts himself below his creation and says, I'm going to wash your feet. Can you think about the stinky feet we have? Can you think about the stinky feet they had? See, they didn't have cars. They had sandals. They didn't have no Jordans and things like that. Sandals. Feet open, right? They're stepping on all kinds of rocks, all kinds of things out there. Dusty. You talk about corns. Corns like you've never seen. But guess what? Jesus did not say, I'm the king. I'm too good for that. He says, no, I'm going to show you what it means to serve God. And we're going to learn serving God means that we have to serve people. Now, you can serve people without serving God, but you cannot serve God without serving one another. And that's what we see here. I'm going to read a couple more texts. Romans chapter 15. Paul, again, speaking to those who are in Rome, both Jews and Gentiles. We're going to read Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 1. He says, now we who are strong have an obligation to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and to not please ourselves. What does it mean to bear the weaknesses of those without strength? That means to serve them. Those who have should serve those who have not. Those who are stronger in faith should serve those who are weaker in faith, right? Those who are stronger physically should serve those who are weaker physically, right? This is how he meant it to be. This is called community. That's why the church is supposed to be so strong of a family. That's what kingdom life is really all about. It's serving one another. Can you imagine how the earth would be if we served one another? It's not like that because we have some people who have an overflow of goodness and an overflow of goodies and blessings. And they hold them back, right? So guess what? The people fight over the rest of the resources. But God never meant it to be like that. He meant us to all serve one another. You don't have this, guess what? I'm going to give you that. You don't have that, I'm going to give you that. I don't have this, you got me on that. And everybody has. No need for someone to steal. No need for someone to kill. But look at how it has become. Because Satan, the prince of this world, right, has done his work. And he's still doing his work. He's still doing work. We see the remnants of his work. But it should not be that way with us. That's what Jesus tells us. So in Romans chapter 15, that's what he tells. He says, each one must please his neighbor for his good. Now, we're not out to be men pleasers. All right. Don't get it twisted. We're not out to just be pleasing people. Giving people what they need does not mean giving people what they want all the time. There's a difference, right? Some people may need more than just money. Right? Some people need a good talking to. Listen, my brother, I helped you out once, twice, but now we need to see how you manage in your finances, right? Sister, this the third time we got to see. I want to teach you how to fish, right? Instead of just giving you fish. So there's different applications to this lesson. And we have to be wise when we talk about serving people, right? Because you don't want to be enabling people in your service. So we have to be wise. But he does tell us that we ought to look out for our neighbor, please them for their good in order to build them up. That's what we're talking about here. Building one another up, right? So it's not weakening them. It's not keeping them to be weak in the same place. You give them what people need so that they could be built up, so they could not be in that same position, right? That's why, hey, Peter, James, people you read about, they didn't always just give money, right? They said, listen, I don't got that, but I'll give you something that you really need, right? That's what service is all about, is meeting people's needs. So we got to be careful. Because some of us think we're doing service, and sometimes we're doing a disservice. All right, if we're not wise on that behalf. He says, for even the Messiah did not please himself. On the contrary, it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. So he says, for whatever was written before was written for our instruction, so that through our endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we may have hope. So we read these things. We read these examples that were set before us. Why? So that we could keep doing good works and endure in them. But we'll talk about some things, you know, because it is a discipline to serve. It's a spiritual discipline. Did you not know that? Just like prayer, just like fasting, just like Bible study, Christian service is a discipline. You got to be disciplined to do it, and especially to endure in it, especially when people aren't giving you a hand clap. Saying, hey, thank you back, things like that. You're not going to get that all the time. But we should see that Christians shouldn't even want that. Because we know where ours is coming from, right? Where our glory and honor is coming from. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. This is a passage I know a lot of you probably know pretty good. Because this is also giving us a good example. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3, he says, do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Can you hear that? Do y'all hear that? That's tough right there, huh? That's tough. And we got to talk about how that really looks. Does that mean that we really think that they are better than we are? Does that mean that they're better than us in some way? No, what he's saying here, and if we just continue to read, he tells us what he's saying. He's saying everyone should look out not for his own interest. And some of your Bibles will say not only for his own interest, right? That's what he's saying. So it's called an ellipsis, where you take the emphasis of one thing and you put it on the other. That's called an ellipsis. It's just the way that they use language, right? And we have to be privy to these types of speech. Otherwise, you'll be like, oh, he's telling us not to even look out for our own selves, not to do nothing for. That's not what he's saying. All right. Just like how the Bible tells us not to be all braided up in gold and things like that. And some people have made that a tight, tough rule. Don't wear no gold. Ladies, don't wear no earrings. Don't. It's an ellipsis. It means he's saying take the emphasis off of that and put it on your inner beauty, right? That's what he's saying here. So he's saying, take the emphasis off of yourself, all right? Don't look out just for yourself, but look out for the interests of others. He says, make your attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage or something to be grasped, right? The King James Bible says. He says, instead, he emptied himself. That's humble right there. That's humbleness. It takes, I'm telling you, if you're going to serve people and you're going to serve God, you got to be humble. You got to be humble. You got to think about more than yourself. You got to lower yourself so that God will lift you up. He says, instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. That's low, right? Because we know the Bible said to die on the tree, right, was a curse. So he took on the curses that we were supposed to take on, right? So the lowest of the low was put on him. The wrath of God was put on him like it should have been put on us, all right? But he says, for this reason, because he humbled himself to the point of death, He says, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those who are in heaven and those who are on earth or even under the earth. He says, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you see how the example is set before us? You see how the example is so strongly set before us? All right, now let's go to the scripture that was read earlier. This is Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and this will be my last scripture, all right? We're going to talk, and then the lesson is going to be yours, I promise you. We will not be here very long. But you know, my brother, I got to go to work too, actually. So he said, take your time. I wish I could be here all day, but my brother, I work on Sundays too. All right, so I'm going to start, what do I want the context to be? Let's start at verse number 20, so this is easy to remember. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. All right? And it says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons approached him with her sons. She knelt down to ask him for something. What do you want? He asked her. She said to him, promise that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your kingdom. Ain't that a nice mom? Ain't that what all mothers do, right? They look out for their sons, right? They look out for their children. Now, in this verse, it doesn't say who they were. But if you look in Matthew chapter 10, that gives us a list of those disciples, you'll see who the sons of Zebedee were. There was James and John. All right, the sons of Zebedee. Now, there were different James and John. You don't want to mix them up, but these were the sons of Zebedee, okay? And so the mother of Zebedee's sons approached Jesus and asked him, right? Lord, can you do something for my children? You know, I love all your disciples, but these my kids, right? I want the best for them. Everybody wants the best for their family. All right, that's fine. I don't fault her for that. But Jesus answered, you don't know what you are asking for. You don't know what you're asking for. You are unable to. Are you able? First of all, are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? Now, I don't think they understood exactly what was going on in this cup of suffering that he was talking about. But first and foremost, they say, we are able, right? We can do it. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink my cup. And if you read about just in Acts, right? James was the first disciple that we read about who was killed. All right? So he did have to drink a cup of suffering. But listen here. He says, he told them, you will indeed drink my cup, but to sit on my right and on my left is not mine to give. Instead, it belongs to those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. I wonder what do you think they wanted when they wanted? Because, of course, their mother started it, but they continued, right? They didn't say, mom, be careful, you know, what you asking for? They said, oh, yeah, let's do it, right? So what do you think they were looking for being on the right and for the left? What do you think they were thinking about? Power, probably, right? Prestige, probably, right? People under them, right, that they could command, whistle, right? Get over here, give me some water, get over here, right, do this. That's probably what they were looking for, right? Maybe some of them look for fame, you know. But either way, they wanted to be on the right and on the left of Jesus. So when the 10 disciples heard this, they became indignant with the two brothers. I'm sure you guys, I don't have to explain why, right? You would be a little salty if you got, we all disciples of the Lord, and then you got two of them saying, hey, can we be, you know, right there with you? What about us, right? That's what I don't think. What about us? You selfish little, right? We're all working for the Lord out here, and y'all just worried about yourself? How come we all can't be around the throne, right? Why are you looking out for yourself? So they were indignant with those two brothers. They were mad. They were angry, right? And they became indignant, and then Jesus said, he called them over and said, you know. Listen up, y'all. Listen up. I got something to tell y'all. Y'all got it. I know y'all got it mixed up, because when you look around, you see something that's going on. But guess what? It's not going to happen with my people. So let's see what he says. He says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles dominate them. You know the Gentile world. The Romans at that time, right? The Caesars and things like that, right? They were ruling. And hey, you liable, if you don't come in front of them and they summon you and you say the wrong thing, you're liable to get your head cut off, right? Right then and there. You have to choose your words as if your very life depended on them, pleasing them, right? That's how they lorded it over them. So he says that the Gentiles, yeah, they dominate the people they rule over, right? With a hard fist, right? Some make it harder on people than they have to, things like that. He says, and the men of high position, they exercise that power over them. All right? It must not be like that among you. He says, on the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Some of your Bibles don't render that word slave, but that's what it literally means. It's a double level to servant, all right? Slave, there's a difference. Servants have some rights of their own, right? You serve, you do what you got to do, then you could do something you want to do, right? Slaves, no. No rights, nothing of themselves. Anything they got straight from their master, right? They had nothing that they could claim they owned. No. So we, being slaves of God, not just servants of God, everything we have is dependent on him. Every crumb you have on your table, right? Everything you have is coming from him because you are a slave to him. Now he says, if you want to be great, guess what? You're going to have to serve others. Now, of course, when they heard this, they probably started looking a little different. I'm sure James and John was looking like, maybe we don't want to be, you know, that high. Maybe we don't need to be that close, because you're talking about we got to be a servant of all. Man, that's tough. That's tough. So I'm going to say a few things that I've got, and then I'll end. All right. I'll end on that note. But you see that Jesus taught that true greatness is in serving others. You see that Jesus illustrated the importance of service when he washed his disciples' feet. You see that Paul followed Jesus' example, and he taught the same thing. You see that believers ought to follow his example. As we said, put that mind on you that was in Christ, right? So service. Let's look at a couple notes. Service is not self-serving, all right? Serving others to feel better, to gain people's gratitude, becomes a self-serving activity. So see, it's not just the act of serving, it's the mindset as well, right? That's why we got to have the mindset. Because remember, I said you could serve people and not be serving God. You could think you're serving God, but you could be deceiving yourselves. If you don't have the right motives, if it's not coming from love and really, you know, really connected with God, trying to glorify him through that service, you could be doing it for all kinds of reasons, right? You could be doing something to get something in return. I'm going to give him $10 today. By the way, you owe me twice that tomorrow, right? You get that, right? You get people like that, right? Who take advantage of people's weaknesses, right? People's needs. They're at a disadvantage taking advantage of it, right? Don't find yourself in that position because you are serving yourself. You're not serving God, right? When you're doing things to get a hand clap, right? Sister, can you do this? I ain't going to get no gratitude for that. Who's going to? My brother, can you lead this out? Man, what am I going to get from that, right? What am I going to get, right? Who going to recognize me, right? You're doing it for that reason. You're doing it for the wrong reason. You're not glorifying your king. You are serving yourself, all right? So there's a lot of reasons. We may be serving other people because we want to feel good about ourselves or make other people feel better about us. We can even be serving because we feel like we have to. And y'all heard about that, right? The same thing as giving. He says you have to give, why? Cheerfully. Cheerfully. You don't want to give up compulsion. I got to do it because if I don't do it, right? I got to help out. I got to do this. That, God don't want that attitude either. He don't want it. You might as well not do it. All right? Because, it's the same thing with your giving. If you're giving because of that, I don't want to give, but I know I got to. Yeah, God is not pleased with that. So that's the same way when it comes to serving each other. So he says, we are giving, expecting nothing in return. Now, I mean nothing in this life necessarily, right? You do expect God to continue to bless you, hopefully, right? When I pray, I know God's going to bless me, right? When I diligently seek him, I know that he's going to reward me, right? So it's not like you're not going to get anything. You may get those internal blessings that you never thought, you know, would come, but they will come. You know, you get, it's a blessing in just being giving. Just be giving and be generous. And there's a blessing in it, right? That's why he says more blessed to give than to receive. But we know that our ultimate reward will be in heaven. So if no one gives you the hand clap, if no one says thank you, even if you get cursed out for blessing somebody, where's your reward at? You going to stop serving? You're going to stop? You're going to say, I give, they don't deserve it. Remember, you are serving because you are being a channel of God's grace. Because God's grace is coming to you, you got to let it flow out of you. You can't stop it. God's grace come and you close the doors. You need to open those floodgates so that those blessings go right through you. Right? That's, again, what kingdom life is about. And it starts here and it goes into all the world. So serving arises from our identity in Christ. We not to be thinking of ourselves as people who are doing service at certain times. We should think of ourselves as servants. That means you are purposeful in your living. Not saying, this is something I had to learn. You know, I used to just say, well, you know, if the time happens or if something happens, you know, then I try to be ready to serve, right? You have to be purposeful. See, that's what discipline is about. When you wake up, you say, you know what? I'm going to put a little extra in here just in case someone needs, right? Or I'm a load my, instead of just getting one blanket, I'm going to put two blankets in there because you never know, right? Or instead of just, you know, I used to not carry cash. I'm like, no, I don't need it. I just want plastic. But you may run into somebody that needs it, right? Put some cash on there on purpose, right? Things like that. Those are being purposeful mindsets, right? So we have to be purposeful. Not saying, if the chance arises, I will serve somebody today. No, we are here to serve. We are put here to serve one another. So therefore, we got to look out for opportunities, right? There's some things that could distract us from being servants. And I would say one of the biggest ones we probably don't often look at, you know, is time. We fill ourselves up with so many things that we don't have the time to serve, right? We're such in a rush to get to our next place, next thing. We could find ourselves doing that, right? And we cannot blame God for putting all those obstacles in our lives. We fill ourselves up with a lot of those things that we don't need. And then we say, well, God, after all these things, I don't have much time to serve. I don't have, where's the time going? Again, be purposeful, because everything may be, you know, what do they call it in there? When you have the liberality to do it. Well, God does give us the liberality to do things, right? But that does not mean that it is advantageous to do it. We can do a lot of things, but I would challenge us to try to focus our energies into things that are going to be the most advantage for the Christ and his kingdom, right? I could do a lot of things, believe me. There's a lot of things I like doing, but there's some things I need to cut out. They're all good things, okay, but there's some things I need to cut out to be more, right, expedient for the Lord's kingdom. Again, that looks different from everybody. I can't say here, you do this, you do that. You have to look in your own lives, right? And see where you are putting your time. And if it's all just dedicated to yourself, and then at the end of the day, you're like, man, I don't have much time to serve now. Maybe because you filled yourself up with service so much, right? You've been serving yourself, and the day has gone by. So being a servant means that God called us to be of service. That's another thing we need to be purposeful about. Don't sit around here and act like things are just going to come to you. You need to act to try to get things to be of service to other people. So I'm not just talking about money. Right? We talk about talents and abilities, right? People are good at different things. I'm good at basketball, drawing, and things like that. That is good. All right, that is good. But wouldn't you think, to my last point, shouldn't I spend time sharpening things that are going to be more advantageous, right, for the kingdom, right? See what I'm saying? So people make excuses all the time saying, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that. Why don't you work on trying to be better at certain things, right? And pray for it, and God will bless you. It's not like everything, it's not my spiritual gift, so I can't do it. There's a lot of things we just don't try to work at being better because we probably don't care about being better servants to other people. We don't want to get any skill sets under our belt because we're like, the more I know, the more people are going to call on me. And that may be true. That may be true. But who are you here for? Again, who are you here for? We got to ask ourselves that, right? So even, you know, I see parents do it all the time for their kids. They may be like, whatever, but when they have a kid, they're like, I can't sit on my laurels no more, right? I got to better myself for my kid. Even if I don't do it for myself, I'm going to do it for, right, the person I've got to care for, right? Well, I believe God is calling us to do that anyway. Not if you don't want to do it for yourself, do it to help be a better servant of the Lord. right? Because again, that's where your orders come from, right? Let's see. The more we serve others, especially those with great need, the barriers that stay in our way of spiritual growth, you know, things that stop us from serving? Pride, arrogance. That's too good, right? I'm not shining no shoes, right? I'm not washing no feet. Now, I'm not saying you have to do those things, but those are examples in that day, right, that they could have used, right? That's below me. I'm not picking up no broom. I got a degree now, right? I got the way people act sometimes, right? I'm too good for this. Too good for this. Those barriers are going to stop your spiritual growth. That pride, that arrogance, that indifference. You know, when you don't care enough. That is probably my biggest problem sometimes. Because I see if people don't care, I start not to care. I'm like, listen, if you don't care, maybe I shouldn't care. Right? That's indifference, right? We kind of just sit and let the world be what it is. It's going to be that way. What difference can I make, right? These people going to be the way they are. That's indifference. We can't sit on indifference. We got to be hot or cold. Do something about it, right? Fears. Yeah, you know, one of the sisters said, you know, they have a fear of dogs, so they don't like to go into the community, you know, and like knock on doors, hand things out for the church. So they have a real fear of dogs, you know. I said, sister, that is real. That is real. Yes. Hey, self-preservation is a natural thing, right? But be prayerful about it. Be prayerful about it and see what your inner problems is with it, because it may be a hindrance to you. And I'm not saying you have to do that. But I'm just saying we need to, you know, try to push ourselves, right? And not just sit still. So we have barriers like insecurity. If I do this, right? You know, when you look to serve, people are going to say things, right? People are going to say things. Even when you look to serve here, right? You step up and say, I'm going to lead prayer. Or I'm going to lead something behind the scenes. Guess what? People going to talk. Why are they doing it like this? I could have done it better. Oh, why are you doing it? That's a bad idea. All right? Insecurity. I don't want that. Who wants people talking behind their back? Who wants people talking about their work, right? But that insecurity can make us stabilize where we don't move in the kingdom. We don't move in the kingdom, and we definitely won't move outside the kingdom when we're afraid of what people will say about our service. Let's see what else. I would say we need to begin by serving those around us in small and unexpected ways. It don't got to be in a big old thing. You know, we don't have to think so big all the time. Small things. Look at how you just walk in your everyday life, the people you approach, the people that approach you, the people you just come in contact to, whether it's at a store or whatever, you know. Just doing those little gestures that everybody don't do, right? That the world would look at and be like, why are you taking your time out to do that? You know, you holding the door for three people to walk before you. Now you in the back of the line. You know, I did that the other day. I was at Subway, opened the door. One person came by. I'm like, uh-oh. They going to get in front of me if I open the door for them, right? But that's the same lesson I got to teach the kids. Why you got to be first all the time, right? Why you always in a hurry? See, that's being purposeful. I need to leave earlier so I'm not in a rush. Because if I'm on a rush, I'm like, I ain't got no time. Close that door, right? I'm in a fight. No. You behind me. You behind me. And I sound like a little kid who want to be first at a water fountain, right? So we, again, let's be purposeful. Let's meditate on these things. How can we be better servants to the Lord? How can we make a difference in our own lives, right? Set certain times aside or whatever, and to make a difference in people's lives so that they can see the glory of God. If we just act like everybody else, they're not going to see it. So we have to be different. We have to shine that light. When you notice, you know, that your service is noticed by other people, you know, when they do say thank you, whatever, right? What do you think you should do? What do you think you should do? You think you should take all that credit? You think you should be like, oh, yes, you know, thank me, yes, thank me. No, we should be thanking the Lord. We should be thanking the Lord, right? They say, thank you. Oh, hey, thank the Lord, right? That's what I do. That's what I try to do. That's what we should be doing, right? Even someone say, hey, you had a great sermon. Guess what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, thank the Lord. I'm take it. What do I got? I don't come up with this stuff myself, right? So we have nothing, again, that does not come from God. So therefore, whenever we get a thank you, whenever we do get a hand clap, whenever we do get, you know, notice for doing good works, we got to show that glory and point back to praising the Lord. Amen. Jesus urges us to serve even if we are treated unfairly and unkindly. Man, y'all do a Bible study on that here, all right? Because that's something that got to go back and forth. You got to get the people interactive in that, because there's a lot of, what do we do, right? When we're treated unfairly, when we're trying to serve, right? When we're trying to help out and people are not taking it the right way. Well, what do we do then, right? Well, I'll say, don't stop serving. You know, don't stop serving. But again, prayer for wisdom, because there's, like I said, that takes a Bible study. You guys got to talk about that, right? There's different examples, different things, so I can't get too involved in just that. Service begins among Christians, like I said, and extends to others as a way to show our gratitude for God's own grace. When we serve others, we get to see Jesus' heart of love and compassion. Service becomes a spiritual experience beyond ourselves. So when we start to really, you know, just be in tune with God the way he wants us to be in tune, when you're praying to God, you know, I'm talking about when you have a prayer life, you know what I mean? When you are just, see, when I'm walking throughout my day, it's just a long conversation with the Lord. It don't stop when I, you know, say my morning prayer and say amen. It's a long conversation all throughout the day. Something happened, I'm like, Lord, did you see that? Wow, Lord help them, right? Man, you cursing, why are you cursing? Lord, why is he cursing me out? You know, I don't even feel like it's directed at me. I'm almost like, Lord, what's going on here, you know? That's the kind of prayer life. That's the kind of communication you want with God. And when you have that communication, guess what? You don't lose track of what you're here for. You don't get out your body. You know, people don't take you outside of your Christian faith, right? Because you are always in that communication and connection with God. And serving is no different. When you're being prayed up to God, when you're just praising God, worshiping him the way he's meant to be worshiped, daily, hourly, just as you go, guess what? You will find yourselves being more mindful of how you are doing as a servant of the Lord and how you are serving others. So I would say, I would end with this quote. This is a quote that I heard a while back and it just stuck with me. It says, we are not meant to see through one another. We are meant to see one another through. That's why God has us here. If you didn't know that, now you know, all right? You are here for others. You're not here just for yourself. Most importantly, you are here for God. Now, we already read about what God did for us. If you are in this audience today and you have not understood, or maybe you understood it and you just did not take up God in his grace to you, he extends it to you today while you still are breathing. He says that he came in the form of man. He did all this for a reason. He took on the sins of us. He died for your sins so that you can have everlasting life with him one day. If you want that everlasting life and you don't want to die in your sins, you don't want to be away from him for eternity, you need to come today. You heard the word. Believe it with your heart. Confess him as your Lord. Say, I want him to be King of Kings in my heart. Lord of Lords in my heart. And you have to. You got to repent. You don't stop there. Everybody could confess him, Lord, Lord, right? But you have to change. Turn towards him. And that will be followed by actions. Make your king his in your heart and in your actions. And, well, you have to be baptized. Because he says, when you are buried with him in baptism, all sins are washed away. The old self is put off. And you rise a new person in Christ Jesus. In a new family, inside a kingdom, where you can experience kingdom life the way it was meant to be. Whatever you need, if you just need prayer, maybe you haven't been the servant that you should have been. We all need to continually pray for one another to be the servants we are called to be. And to be a humble and faithful servant. Not one who serves ourselves, but literally thinks about, God, I want to be great in your sight. I don't care about what man think. I want to be great in your sight. And you said, if I'm going to be great in your sight, the first will be last. All right? And the greatest will be the servant. Come, as we stand and sing a song of invitation, whatever your need may be, I bid you to come.